It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. A big thank you to everyone who donated during our spring member drive last week. Support from people like Jean in Monona sustains the trusted news and information you value on the Ideas Network. To ensure the resources are in place, we do fundraising throughout the year, but the current situation is affecting that work. So if you miss the drive, your gift now at WPR.org is especially important, and thank you so much. Right now, we're talking with a family medicine specialist who in recent weeks has worked to get community COVID-19 testing off the ground. Meanwhile, Wisconsin is taking steps to increase testing capacity statewide. The state has increased the number of labs performing COVID-19 tests from 8 a month ago to 36 this week. What do you want to know about drive-through testing, antibodies, the efficacy of testing? We're at 800-642-1234. Dr. Patricia Golden is an osteopathic physician at Ascension Medical Group with a family medicine practice in Franklin. She has led Ascension's efforts to open drive-through testing, create dedicated respiratory clinics, and expand virtual provider office visits. Dr. Golden, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate.
Take us back to last month when Ascension was preparing to launch drive-through testing. What did you do to get these sites ready to go to accept patients in their cars?
Sure, absolutely. So, thinking about where we were a month ago, it just seems like forever, where we basically within days were able to come together as a team across the state of Wisconsin and develop these testing tents that were critical for us to really truly understand this infection and how it was affecting all of our communities. So we brought together a team of nursing staff, our physician leaders. We brought together many of our operations directors, our IT leaders were instrumental to helping us to develop these opportunities for all of our patients. And then in essence, what it really truly did was, we understood the necessity to keep our patients safe in addition to also keeping our associates within the clinics safe. So it was instrumental that we had many different ways to for patients to access us. If patients had some of their primary care clinics, they would call in and they'd speak to either the clinicians over the phone or they'd speak to their nurse triage and we'd go through the symptoms that originally had been depicted by the CDC. And if anyone fell into the category where we were concerned at that time that they needed to have testing done, we would place our orders and then deliver them to a certain location. And we strategically planned where these tents would be based on, the communities. We actually have 15 across the state of Wisconsin. 7 of them are predominantly here in the Southeast Wisconsin region.
So you have 15 operating right now. Take us through that process. Yeah. As you were saying, I interrupted you.
Oh, sure. So, the patients would show up there, and I really appreciated all that Dr. Casey had mentioned previously. It was critical for us to, with the PPE shortage, so, with our protective gear being in short supply, we knew we needed to really focus on where those gowns and the protective gear needed to be worn and try to eliminate that overuse in our other areas of our clinics. So we would send our patients there. We'd have our staff going out right up to the cars and doing the nasopharyngeal swab, which I'm sure many people have witnessed on the news. It's not a fun exam, but it was a critical exam. And we would obtain these tests in a really controlled and safe manner. We actually scheduled appointments to be going through the drive-through test because it was, again, really instrumental for us to keep that entire environment controlled so that we were not spreading this potential to the communities that we were doing the testing in.
So what was the volume then for testing, and what is it like now?
Right. So I know one of your callers had asked about the Fox Valley. We actually have a couple of different sites in the Fox Valley set up. So we've been watching for the last several weeks the numbers, and they have definitely followed suit in that surge that we were happening at certain healthcare systems. And interestingly, exactly like the data you guys just reported, we have not had a massive surge in the Fox Valley. We had a very low percentage of positives, though we continued to test those that were appropriate for the symptoms. So in the in our seven here on the southeast side, though our testing continues, our numbers of positives have gone down from where they were even 2 weeks ago.
Where do you send the specimen for the lab work?
So for our tents as well as our respiratory clinics, we knew that it was important, again, that our most critical and most vulnerable patients, as well as the healthcare workers that were required to take care of our critically ill, those were the tests that went to the state lab as well as the city lab. Ours would go to outside laboratories, in which originally the turnaround time was a little bit slower, but those were the patients that we were having really close conversations with about, you know, their need to stay home, their need to have excellent respiratory hygiene. So we were trying to control all of those. And in addition, we were keeping in close contact with them, just making sure that they weren't decompensating and needed to be sent to our emergency departments. But the whole point of our testing tents, as well as our respiratory clinics, was really to work in conjunction with our hospital partners in trying to reduce the surge that was going towards their facilities, and seeing what we could do to prevent and educate.
We're talking with Dr. Patricia Golden. She is an osteopathic physician with Ascension Medical Group affiliated with St. Francis Hospital in Milwaukee. You can join in with your questions about testing, about symptoms, about the protocols in place to treat COVID-19. Have you called your local physicians about concerns surrounding the coronavirus? What did you ask and what did they tell you? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Golden, do you have an adequate number of tests? And with turnaround time, you said it was taking a little longer. What type of time are you talking about? Is it hours or days?
Sure. So from a hospital standpoint, that's going to be a different conversation. Theirs are very quick turnarounds.
Okay.
Because we did not want to overburden the state or the city lab, as well as our own infrastructure. When we do send out to our outside lab sources, it's about a 24 to 48 hour turnaround time.
There's been debate about the efficacy of these tests. How reliable are they?
Well, so the nasopharyngeal tests that we do are, it's a PCR test. Those have a higher predictive factor for us as clinicians. I think where we're learning right now is, you know, with the antibody testing and the different types of serum testing. So, you know, every day we're learning, and there's, you know, specific tests that are coming out that we're hoping to work in conjunction with the PCR nasal pharyngeal testing. And I think that, you know, will also start helping us determine, you know, how do we start relaxing a little bit on that physical distancing that we've really highly relied on to help protect our communities as well as our healthcare workers.
Will the different types of testing, do you see those being able to be delivered in a drive-through model?
The ease at which some of these serum tests can be done would definitely be an opportunity. I think that, you know, how we decide to use the serum tests will be an important factor on how we decide to do the testing. So at this point, for the antibody test, it's really, Kate, for us to determine if somebody has started building up immunity to the virus. So at this point, what we know is it's not a great predictor of who actively has the virus, but it's much better if we're able to see if they've built up immunity, which is, you know, then at that point, we could start looking at, you know, can we open the doors to those who are immune and, you know, they can go back into the workforce and not be actively spreading the disease. When we have positive nasopharyngeal swabs, though, at this point, you know, we know it's a positive. We know either they actively have the disease, they could be shedding the disease. And that's when we're talking about kind of that asymptomatic positive. So they don't even have symptoms, but they're positive, which means that when they're out in the communities, though they don't have symptoms, or maybe their symptoms are so mild they're not recognizing it, they're also putting the rest of our community at risk for spread.
Yeah, we're talking about drive-through testing for COVID-19 with Dr. Patricia Golden of Ascension Medical Group as our guide. She has led Ascension's efforts to open drive-through testing, to create outpatient respiratory clinics, to expand virtual provider office visits. Have you done a drive-through test? What was your experience like? Did you prefer it to an office visit or going directly to the ER? Join in with your insights, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a moment, there's more conversation here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. More than 700 Wisconsin National Guard troops have mobilized to support the state's response to COVID-19. And we learned this week that the Health Services Department will have Guard members doing specimen collections at some COVID-19 mobile testing sites. We have family medicine specialist Patricia Golden of Ascension Medical Group who stays with us. She has led drive-through testing coordination at 15 sites for Ascension. Dr. Golden, we have Sandy from Milwaukee who called in, couldn't stay with us. Sandy wants to donate plasma, but they aren't sure if they have the antibodies that would be helpful. And Sandy wants to know how they could find out if they have COVID-19 antibodies. What do you think?
So that's a really interesting question. Right now, where we have been focusing on for our donations are the patients that we know have tested positive, and then they've gone through the course of healing. So there's some fairly strict guidelines when it comes to donation and determining when would be an appropriate time for us to be able to utilize that plasma. So what I would recommend is that she would contact maybe her local either primary care office where they can have a conversation with the hematologist, possibly that may be doing this type of study or work within her organization. I know for us, we have Dr. Jonathan Treisman, who's been just instrumental for us with the research going on with the donations and treatment with the plasma.
How long do you anticipate that you'll keep open your drive-through testing at Ascension? Do you have any timelines?
We actually are in the process of looking at where our future normal is going within medicine. But, you know, Kate, what I'd say is right now we know that the testing is really instrumental at giving us an accurate count for the infection. And when we have that, you know, we can start understanding the spread of COVID. We can start doing, we can conduct contact tracing so that we understand when we do have someone who tests positive, where has it potentially spread. This is also going to end up helping our public health departments in providing recommendations to the communities, you know, and then for us as well in the healthcare system, it's going to help us kind of predict or prepare for when additional surges will happen, because what we're learning is, you know, this is not, you know, just a one and done. You know, I read a wonderful article that it basically described this as we're in about the second inning of a 9-inning baseball game. And so us continuing to have the ability and the resources for testing is going to be critical for us to be able to monitor and control this over the next, you know, 16 to 18 months. And, you know, everything that we're doing now is going to help our healthcare systems, our scientists come up with immunizations and ways to reduce the amount of morbidity and mortality that is being predicted with this virus.
Do you feel like you could scale this model? Could you stand up more sites if you needed to?
Oh, absolutely. So one of the, if I were to come up with a positive from this event, it has been amazing for us to see the collaboration that's happened, you know, across our state, across our nation, with all the different healthcare systems. So currently, I've had the pleasure and I've been working, you know, basically helping guide and share some of the lessons that we learned, as well as some of our best practices with the Milwaukee Healthcare Partnership, as well as the local FQHCs, as they're trying to stand up their own testing sites. And really just seeing that collaboration to protect our state and having that shared goal for healing our communities has absolutely been beautiful.
Well, Dr. Golden, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kate. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
Dr. Patricia Golden is an osteopathic physician with Ascension Medical Group affiliated with St. Francis Hospital in Milwaukee, and she's been leading Ascension's coordination of drive-through testing and respiratory care sites. Earlier, we talked with emergency medicine specialist Paul Casey of Green Bay. And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about a mother's tea.
Many of us grew up questioning our parents' methods and traditions, only to find ourselves embracing them later in life. That was definitely the case for Rita Yeolor. She tells us about the skepticism and love of her mother's tea.
When I would get sick, my mother would rummage through the cabinets, pulling out crinkled Ziploc bags filled with twisted roots that once clung to the earth, golden leaves touched by King Midas, and of course, the trusty old Chopa Jay. The Chopa Jay was our family's medicine rock. This white, clay-like crystal my mother would scrape into a powder before boiling it into a tasteless tea. Then she'd order me to drink and ask no questions. I had many. I drank anyway. My mother comes from a long line of healers. Her father was a shaman who traveled between both worlds. She is an herbalist who interprets dreams. I happen to be the skeptic of all things. When I was 8, I lost one of my front teeth. Months went by and still no tooth. "How did you throw it away?" my mother asked, because you see, there's a special way of disposing of one's tooth. If you lose a tooth along the top, you must hold the tooth up to your forehead and let it fall into the garbage. Our teeth at the top grow down, so the tooth must also go down. My mother did not witness how I had thrown the tooth away and became concerned. One day she said, "When we go to the garden, bring an apple." Across our garden was a grassy field, and in that field lived a horse. I was instructed to offer the apple to the horse and say, "Horsey, horsey, my tooth will not grow back. May I have one of your teeth, please?" Shortly after that, it grew back. I remained a skeptic. I was embarrassed by my mother's unconventional ways. Many times I demanded to see the label of her ingredients. My mother said her chua didn't come with labels. She would say, "Beimong huli na, we Hmong call it this." And this never seemed to have a good translation. For example, chua kuta hao literally means medicine hot head. When you Google it, it pulls up hot flashes and menopause, which I don't think I was experiencing at 15. I refused to drink my mother's chua from then on. The following 10 years, I did what most everybody does. I went to the doctor. Sometimes I was told to go home and let things heal on their own, take some Advil, apply this cream, here's some antibiotics. Something was always missing, though. I started to explore how others heal themselves and became fascinated with rocks, these everyday things that could be a billion years old. Imagine the stories they must hold. I wondered if that was what my mother thought when she untangled roots or collected leaves for another herbal concoction. During my rock phase, I learned about selenite, known as a healing stone. It's sometimes sold in thin, long slabs. I ordered one for myself, and when it arrived, I noticed it was soft, a bit dull, and somewhat chalky. That's when I realized I had seen this before, in my mother's kitchen. The trusty old chopaje, the tasteless tea I drank as a child, this was it, just in a different form. I was babysitting my nephew when he lost a tooth. He wanted to put it under his pillow for some tooth fairy money. "Bud," I said, "do you want tooth fairy money, or do you want your tooth to grow back?" There we stood in front of the garbage bin. Sometimes the universe has its way of leading you back to your mother's tea.
That story came to us from Yia Lohr, a writer who lives in Eau Claire. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to make sure you catch every Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast feed and find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Coming up, we explore how musicians are adapting to the coronavirus pandemic, making music that encourages social distancing and staying healthy. Stay with us. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.